4 tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, Orley Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write Post Office Box 516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71902. Saturday morning, December the 27th, 1986. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the teacher of the morning. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
It comes out of the Word and the Spirit saying it. So have your ears tuned this morning to what the Spirit is saying, Brother Tommy.
Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of the living God. Lord, give us, as Bill said, to the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, Lord. Give us eyes to see. Give us a heart to understand. You said with all you're getting, get understanding. Give us understanding today, Lord. Give us wisdom and knowledge in the fear of the Lord. Lord, let the fear of God be before our eyes, Lord. Keep it always before us, Lord. That we do not our thing, Lord. That we do only that which pleases you, Lord. We only say that which you want us to say, Lord. Quicken us by the Holy Ghost. Speak those words you'd have us to speak today, Lord. And quicken your people. And we bless you, Lord, in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. May the Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. Turn today to the book of, turn to the book there. We'll get the chapter in just a minute. And you know that God's taken us from milk to meat if we're growing in God. He's taken us from the carnal to the spiritual, from the natural to the supernatural, from death to life, from the seen to the unseen, from the temporal to the eternal, from the visible to the invisible, from immaturity to maturity, and from babes to sons, and from unrest to rest.
Hallelujah.
Anybody need rest today?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 11. Let's see what Jesus said about rest. Verse 27 through 30. Matthew 11, 27 through 30. Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Now in verse 28, he said, come unto me. Turn back to Matthew 4 a minute. Matthew 4:19. Notice what Jesus said there. He said, follow me in verse 19, and I'll make you fishers of men. So to come after him is to follow him. And we know that it says in Revelation 14 that the 144,000 followed the Lamb whithersoever that he go. You cannot follow the Lamb without being led by the Holy Ghost. And you cannot follow the Lamb unless there is a cross in your life. Amen. You have to deny yourself, your will, in order to follow Jesus. And here he said, come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is his will today to give you rest. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we spoke yesterday on the firstborn. Jesus is the firstborn, come on, of many brethren. Jesus was first fruit, and Jesus was the forerunner. Amen? How many know he's raising up a firstborn company, or firstborn ones, the Greek says in Hebrews 12. And we are going to be, by the grace of God, and as we press in, there is going to be, I say we, a people that's going to be first fruits. Amen? There's some pine our ears. He's raising up in this hour. Hallelujah. How many know that he's going to take us in a way that we have not yet been? Amen. We have all had experiences in the past, good experiences in God, but there are things ahead. There are things he wants to bring us into we have not yet attained, we have not yet arrived, and I don't know anybody that has, except Jesus. But he's the head. He's the one that's going to lead. Amen?
Amen.
Now right here he said, come unto me. Come to me. How are we going to come to Jesus? By the power of the Holy Ghost. And I, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will do what? Give you rest. That's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It was by his blood. Amen? It was by his grace that he gave you that initial rest. It was a gift from God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? It's a gift from God. Now, he said, come to me and I'll give you the rest. So the rest has been given as we receive the rest. And as we start walking in that initial rest that's given by his grace and by his blood. Then he said, take my yoke. How many know you got to take it at once? And you got to take it only as you walk in that initial rest. Because if you try to take that yoke without walking in that rest, you'll be like a tiger to live with. You've heard the tiger in the tank. Well, you'll be a tiger. Amen? But he said, take my yoke upon you. It is an act of your will. We're going to share a few minutes on the yoke here just a minute. But take my yoke upon you and do something. Learn of me. You cannot learn of Jesus without taking his yoke. He was yoked with the Father and he learned. How many know Jesus grew up and became a son? Born a baby in the manger. How many know we adore the child, but we ignore the man? There's no threat with the baby. But that baby grew up. Hallelujah. He knew what suffering was, affliction was, and pain, not pain, but a lot of things he went through. You know, the, how would I say it? Afflictions and turmoil that was around about him. I won't go into that. I don't mean sickness and disease now. But Jesus knew what it was to go through things. He knew what it was to be tempted of the devil in all points, yet without sin. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, he said, take my yoke. Now, the yoke, first of all, speaks of an intimacy with him. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. In verse 14, Paul said to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion. Here's an intimacy. Here's a union, a fellowship. Of the Holy Ghost be with you, amen. With you all, amen. So, there is to be a communion, an intimacy, a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is not going to exalt you. The Holy Spirit's going to exalt. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you to Jesus. Amen. He's going to testify of Jesus. He's going to glorify Jesus.
Amen.
But we have to have that union with the Holy Spirit because he's going to reveal Jesus to us. Now, turn back to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, I believe it is. I'll find it here in a minute. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship, of what? Of the Spirit. If any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. So there is a fellowship. There is a union with the Holy Spirit. And so first of all, the yoke speaks to me of an intimacy with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the yoke speaks of a harness. Turn to Exodus. We don't like to get in God's harness, do we? I mean, we like to be free and whatever goes with it. Well, you can be free in him, but you can't be free in yourself. And you can only be free in him as you take his yoke and do what he says. There is a liberty in him. But we can't use that liberty to an occasion of the flesh, though, can we?
Right.
To do what we want to. Now look in Exodus 13. In verse 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. The word Philistines can speak of those who roll and wallow in the dust. I mean, the dust is the serpent's meat, Isaiah said. Hello. Although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return back to the world. Return back to Egypt, the lust of the eye. Come on, lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But God led the people about. Who did the leading?
God.
I mean, God will lead you in some places you don't want to be. If you got His yoke, the Holy Ghost led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Amen? Hallelujah. How many's ever been in places you didn't want to be that God put you there? Joseph, we saw yesterday, said, I'm in the place of God. He said, you meant it for evil, you half brothers, but God, praise the Lord, led me where I'm at. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many know there's the dealings of God in our life?
Yes,
sir. God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the sea. And if you're going to grow up in God, you're going to go through the wilderness. You're going to be tested to the hilt. You're going to know affliction. You're going to know trouble. You're going to know turmoil. It's not going to be a bed of roses all the way. You're going to be tested if you're going to be a son. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And if you think anything else, you're not thinking Scripture, because through much tribulation, we're going to enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You start preaching the kingdom and you start moving in afflictions. Yes, He gives us the grace. He gives us the strength and the help to go through. We're not to set our eye on the trouble. We're to set our eye on the Lord. But I'm telling you, the affliction comes. Amen?
Amen?
And so He led them. He led them. God led them. Praise the Lord. Through. Come on.
Through.
The way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now some margins say ranks of five. But nevertheless, they were harnessed. God put His harness over you and over me. And if you're in a harness, you can't do what you want to do. You can't go where you want to go. You can't say what you want to say. You got to be what He wants you to be.
Amen.
Only if you're going to be a son. Now turn to John chapter 21. St. John 21 in the Scripture, brethren. Paul said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a prison house that the devil puts people in. But God will put you in prison. Hello? And I said this before here, and I'll say it again. You don't choose your cellmates who you're going to be in prison with. Because they'd throw you out probably, you'd throw them out. God chooses your cellmates. I'm talking about spiritual things now, not in the natural. But here in John 21, verse 18, Jesus said, verily, verily, talking to Peter, truly, truly, I say to thee, Peter, when thou was young, when you were younger, I can remember years ago, you were younger in the things of God, and you had more, seemingly more liberty to do a lot of things you could do than what you can do now. Because that harness is coming down over you. You're becoming a prisoner of the Lord if you're growing up in God. You don't have that liberty to do what you want to do. He said, I say unto thee, Peter, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself, and you walk where you wanted to go. And I'll tell you, when you gird yourself, your girdle's going to be loose. You're not going to have a tight girdle. And you're going to walk where you want to go. Amen? But Jesus said, Peter, something else here. He said to him, but when thou shalt be old. Now, I believe he lived an old life in the natural. But I'm not looking at the natural. When thou shalt be mature. When thou shalt be mature. Hallelujah. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hands. History said he died upside down on the cross. Probably did. But this can also speak of worship, even in the midst of your circumstance. Amen?
Amen.
And notice what he said. But another Peter shall gird thee. Huh. I mean, he runs a tight ship. Holy Ghost don't have a loose girdle, brother. He girds you tight. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll carry thee, Peter, whether you do not want to go. He'll take you where you don't want to go in the flesh.
Amen.
This spake he signifying by what death? Yes, a natural death. But how many know there's a spiritual death? Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. There is a death to ourself. Amen?
Amen.
Signifying what death, he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, notice what Jesus said. Follow me. Follow me. And yet we follow so many things besides Jesus. But if we got that union and communion with the Holy Ghost, he's leading us to Jesus. Amen? Now, turn to Psalms 142. Verse 7. David is crying out to God. And in verse 7, here's the cry of his heart and probably the cry of your heart and my heart. He said, bring my soul out of prison. That's the wrong kind of prison. What's your soul? It's your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions, your desires. Bring my soul out of prison that I might praise thy name. I mean, you know, when your soul starts getting liberated and saved and renewed and changed, you're going to start praising God. Amen. The righteous shall compass me about. Not only here, but even... I mean, that cloud of witnesses is around us at times.
Praise the Lord.
For thou shalt deal. Thou shalt deal. I'm sure that's different in another translation. Bountifully with me. And if you and I are going to come out of the prison house of the enemy and get our souls saved, renewed, we're going to see that in a little bit here, then God is going to deal with you and I. Because we must exchange ours for his. Our mind, our will, emotions, desires. Must be changed. Amen? It must be changed. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Now, turn back to Matthew. Just a minute. We'll come back on the yoke in a minute. Matthew 11, again, notice what he said. Jesus said, come to me, you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you rest. Now, in the outer court, there are workers. And there's a time to work. And in the holy place, there are warriors. We're learning to overcome. But in the Holy of Holies, there are worshipers.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank God for the workers. Amen. And thank God for the warriors. Because he is raising up an army. But we must learn to be a worshiper. Amen. Hallelujah. And we can settle down in any place that we desire. I mean, all that. Turn to Leviticus 16. Just a minute. Lord, give me a scripture here. Let's go there. Leviticus 16. I mean, the high priest went in the holy place once a year. On what day did he go into the most holy place? What day was it? Huh? Day of Atonement. I mean, there's trumpets. The day of trumpets. Blow the trumpets. Day of Atonement. Tabernacles. In this last feast. Trumpets was on the first day, seventh month, right? 10 days later, Day of Atonement. I mean, 10 speaks of tribulation. And from 10 to 15 is 5 to tabernacles. 5 speaks of the grace of God, but it speaks of the fivefold ministry. I mean, we're not going to be perfected without apostles. Come on. Prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. Thank God for them. And here in Leviticus 16, verse 12, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar. Hallelujah. I mean, our God's a consuming fire today.
Amen.
Somebody said God lives in a 3-room house. Outer court. Come on. Holy place. Holy of holies. And in that third compartment is a living room, a loving room. And it has one piece of furniture. There's a mercy seat. But there's also a fireplace. Because he is a consuming fire. And he'll give you beauty for your ashes. Amen? He said, take a censer full, burning coals of fire from off the altar. The altar speaks of sacrifice, that dedication, death, obedience, many things, before the Lord. And his hands, notice both hands. You talking about the double portion ministry? We talked on the firstborn yesterday. Who has the right of the firstborn? Who has the double portion ministry? Which can minister on that side of the veil and this side of the veil. There's a people God's raising up that's going to be able to do that. Jesus said, all power in heaven is given to me. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And he's given that power to the church. But we haven't come into all of it yet, have we? I'd be lying if I said we had. Hallelujah. I mean, we've received the earnest of the Spirit. But there's more to be fulfilled. Amen. In our life. He shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, his hands full of sweet incense. Incense speaks of intercession, prayer, and worship. Beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. Hallelujah. You're going to come in the presence of God. How many know it takes some incense? Both hands full. I want to tell you that, brethren. We're either going on for God towards the Holy of Holies, or we're coming back out. You just got two choices. You ain't going to just stay in a position where you do nothing. You're either going on in by and being a worshiper, or you're going to revert back to the outer court if you don't really go on for God. How many know the outer court's going to be trampled underfoot? Let's look at it. Revelation 11. We cannot remain in that position. Revelation 11. How many know those that know the will of God and do not do it, they shall be beaten with many stripes. How many know that scripture? But those who don't know as much. And I'll say what stripes are. It's tribulation. Tribulation coming on the scene. Brother, people be blind and deaf if they don't think it's coming out there. It's approaching us from every direction. But how many know we can, if we pray, and if we're watching. Revelation 11, verse 1. Praise the Lord. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. Later, John calls it a golden reed. But the rod speaks of authority. Can all, I mean, know the word of God's the rod too. But it's a golden reed. God's measuring us with his nature, not just a yardstick. And notice what he said. The angel stood saying, rise and measure what? The temple of God. And the altar, there's the altar again, and them that worship therein. So there's a people being measured right here at this particular time that are worshiping the Lord. Remember what I said, they're workers, they're warriors, and they're worshipers. And so at this time, there's a people worshiping the Lord. But the court, which is without the temple, leave it out. Measure it not at this time. It is given to the heathen, to the Gentiles, or the nations, and the holy city. The holy city. I believe the holy city is not necessarily Jerusalem. I mean, no, it's no more holier than the city right here. And the natural I'm talking about. Now, the Holy One walked in that city. His name is Jesus. But he said, the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I'll give power to my two witnesses and so forth. The outer court will be trampled down. Amen. We don't want to remain just in the outer court. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, go back again to Matthew. Matthew, chapter 11. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back now and see what Jesus is saying here. And really get into it. He said in verse 29, again, take my yoke. It's an act of our will. Upon you and learn of me. Now, so to learn of him, you have to take the yoke. Is that right? All right, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 in the Word of God. Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 5, in verse 7. How many want to be a son? How many know you got to follow the pattern of the son? Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers, and notice prayers is plural, and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, and though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And that word learned there is the same one we're looking at in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, where he said, take my yoke and learn of me. He was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. There is some suffering with this yoke. Amen? Hallelujah. And you cannot learn of him without suffering, without his yoke. You know, today we want everything quick, don't we? Huh? Just speak it, it's gone. But how many don't always work that way? Doesn't always work that way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn with me now to Revelation 14. I mean, you can blab and grab all you want to, but you won't be taken out of certain situations for certain times. Amen? You can quote the scripture 100 times. You can say, I confess, I confess, I confess. But it's just a soulful thing. It's just confession. There is a time to confess it. All right, yes. Hallelujah. But you can't do it in your own strength. Revelation 14. Notice what Revelation says. I looked, and lo, there was a lamb. Hallelujah. That lamb went to the cross, didn't he? Yes. That lamb was the forerunner who entered in before you and I. He's the pattern. And he said here, I looked and I saw that lamb standing on Mount Zion. And I looked the word Zion, it means the church militant and triumphant. It's a militant, triumphant people. And with him, 144,000. And I don't believe that's a literal number. I believe it's a symbolic. That's the way I teach it. Whether you believe it, how you believe it, it's your business. But I don't teach it literal. I believe it's symbolic. I believe all numbers just about are symbolic in Scripture. But nevertheless, that's neither here nor there. Having his father's name or nature written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven. How many know God's going to seal a people? You know, in Exodus 28, there were 3 sealings there in the high priest. There was a sealing in the breastplate in the heart. There was a sealing on the shoulders. And there was the mitre that was put, you know, on his head, the turban that had holiness unto the Lord. You remember that? One in the heart, one on the shoulders, and one, of course, around the mind. And that one that said holiness to the Lord was on blue lakes. And blue speaks of the heavenly. How many know that people say you're too heavenly minded? You're not going to be an earthly good. But if you're going to be earthly good, you've got to be a heavenly minded people. You got to learn to walk in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? So there was the sealing in the breastplate. There was the sealing on the shoulder. The shoulder speaks of government. It speaks of power and authority. How many know he sealed us with his Holy Spirit? Amen. When? After you heard the gospel and you believed, Paul said, he sealed us with the earnest of our inheritance. Hallelujah. And then the 3rd sealing was on the turban. Holiness to the Lord, the mind of Christ. And then in Revelation, turn back just a minute, Revelation 3 here. Let's look at this triple sealing. I won't go into it. Let's just read it. To the church at Philadelphia, Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. The pillars hold the building up, but the pillar's got to be connected with the foundation. He's the foundation, isn't he? He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name or the nature of my God. And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And 3, I will write upon him my new name. Yes, turn to Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Revelation 19. Praise the Lord. John sees heaven open. And he sees the Lord. He's called the Word of God. Verse 14, the armies are following him here in the Scripture. Praise the Lord. But I'm looking for the word name here. Somebody find that for me. 13, thank you. He was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. That's not it. I'm talking about the seal, though. A new name, rather. The word, new name, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. 9, no, that's not it. 12, his eyes were a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And this is it. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And back in chapter 3, verse 12, he said, and I will write upon him my new name. Now look in Revelation 22. Revelation 22 and verse 4. And they shall see his face. That speaks of an intimate walk. Fellowship, union. I mean, something in you is going to die when you begin to see him. But something from God will enter you to cause you to live. They shall see his face. His name, his nature shall be, hallelujah, in their foreheads. That's in their mind. Anybody want his mind? Turn back to Revelation 14 now. John is seeing this 144,000. And in verse 2, he said he heard the voice of many waters. It speaks of a body. The voice of a great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Here, worshipers. And they sung, as it were, a new song, new message, before the throne and before the four beasts and elders. And no man could what? What's that word?
Learn.
No man can learn. In himself, he can't learn this message, this song. No man, he said, Jesus said, take my what? Yoke upon you and learn of me. And right here, these people, it says no man can learn that song but the 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. What am I saying? These people were given the initial rest, like you and I, by the blood of Jesus. Amen? They took his yoke and they learned of him and they found the rest. Remember, the first rest is given. But he said, secondly, Jesus said, you got to find that rest. Are you hearing me? The first was given. They were yoked with him. They learned of him. And now they've found that rest. You say, how do you know? Because they are marked in their forehead or in their souls. And that's the rest of God. Hello.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And these people are worshipers. Amen. They are redeemed. Verse 4. How do you want to be in this crowd? You got to die. You got to die to your ambitions. Those things that you desire, that's not of God. Verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women. God gave me a word recently, how we're being defiled, how we can be defiled. Hallelujah. These are they that were not defiled with women. This is not the whole church right here. Well, I know God's had his overcomers down through the ages. And I know there's overcomers in heaven tonight, today, who have walked in overcoming. But God's bringing the people forth in the earth, isn't he? These are they which were not defiled with women. That's the heart of church. That's the Jezebel who wants to defile you and me. But God said, come out of her, my people. He didn't say stand. He said, come out. Is that a command from Jesus? Yes. Whatever is Babylon, whatever. What is Babylon? It's those who will not worship Jesus in spirit and in truth and will not allow him to be head over their life. That's Babylon. I don't care what name you put on the door, it's Babylon. He said, come out of her, my people. Thank God there's a people coming out.
Amen.
One time a man had a vision of the harlot system. He said it was the most horrible vision he'd ever had. God was telling him to destroy her in the vision. When he went to destroy her, God said, wait. He said, shake. He began to shake her, and he said, man, people begin to run out every direction from her. And he said, oh, God, I thank you. You let me shake her first. Hallelujah. God's shaking the church system. God's shaking it. Amen. For his people to get out of her. Judgment's coming. She's going to be burnt with fire. She's going to be brought down with a beast system. God's going to bring her down. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So if you cannot worship Jesus where you are in spirit and in truth, and he cannot be your head, then get out of it. Hallelujah. Go where you can worship God. He can be your head. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So he said, these are they which were not defiled with women. They are virgins. There are five wise virgins at midnight prepared, full of oil. They had oil in their lamp. And in their vessel, the lamp speaks, of course the lamp's the word of God, but lamp speaks of the inner man as well. And the vessel is your soul. There had been an overshadowing of Christ at midnight in the souls of those virgins. They had the mind of Christ at midnight. Midnight's coming. Tribulation's coming. Judgment's coming. But thank God there's a people going to be prepared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said there's a people going to be prepared. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Come on, praise Him. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Prepare your people, Lord. Prepare us, Lord. Hallelujah. Fill us, O God, with your oil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, I see in these people a pure mind. I see pure worship. I see a pure word. Hallelujah. We need a pure word. I see pure hearts. I see a pure walk. Amen. I see some pure maturity in them people. They were purely purged. They had a pure mouth because, notice, they did not have any guile in their mouth. God had purged them and cleansed them. Let's finish the scripture before we close here in a few minutes. Verse 4. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever that He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being something, the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Hallelujah. A purged, pure people. We said yesterday, God's chaste virgin is going to be pure, full of power, and perfected. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, I believe it. So, Lord, give us that rest. Let's turn back to Matthew now and close. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find. You shall find. Only after you've taken the yoke, and after you've learned of Him, you shall find rest unto your soul. I mean, the battle today is in the mind. I mean, it's in the mind. Hallelujah. As Brother Thomas said last night, we got to cast down these imaginations, these things that come against us. And it is a warfare. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now, in the spirit, you can say that. But if you're in the flesh, how many know the yoke's tough?
Right.
Jesus was speaking in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. A little different, Brother Glenn. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is a yoke. There's an intimacy. There's a harness. We must become a prisoner. There's the dues of God. I could go into the submitting to the fivefold ministry. I could teach on the local church. And all testings of all kinds. So there's many things connected with this yoke. But I believe God is just saying today, brethren, to you and me, He desires us to have. There's a people going to enter that rest, Hebrews says. Some must enter it. In closing, I think we'll just read that before we close. Turn to Hebrews 4. And I said it's going to close, so I'll go. But let's look at this. It's hard for preachers to quit. Huh? Oh, okay. All right. All right. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Notice what Paul said. Let us therefore, what? Fear. Here's a warning. Lest a promise, being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And without that yoke, you will come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word... Now, here's another thing we need to look at. Preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into His rest. To who? Those that what? Believe. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for He spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. Verse 9. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. He that has entered into His rest, He also has ceased from His own works as God did from His. Let us also labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man, what? Fall after the same example of unbelief.
Yes.
And unbelief and doubt will keep us out, won't it? Hallelujah. So there is a rest. Now, go to Psalms 129. He said, I've got some more time, so let's take it. About 15 more minutes. Is that all right? All right. Praise the Lord. Psalms 129. How many have ever read this psalm?
How many know there's songs of 15 songs of degrees? From Psalms 120 through 24 speak of the Passover. From 125 to 129 speak of Pentecost. And from 130 to 134 speaks of tabernacles. It speaks of three things. Purification, enlightenment, and a union. Now, in Psalms 129, this is the last psalm in the second group. I said 120 to 124 speaks of Passover. It's five psalms. 125 to 129 speaks of Pentecost. Five more psalms. And 130 to 134 speaks of tabernacles. Five more psalms. Five and five and five is what? That's the number of rest. Are you hearing me? But this psalm is 129, the last of the second part, 125 to 129. And it speaks of testing time. It speaks of Pentecost realm, 60-fold realm. You know, I could go into a lot of things about here. But let's read verse 1. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Next verse. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Now this is the 10th psalm of the 15th. 10 is the number of tribulation. We're on the 10th floor. Somebody said, don't get a nosebleed. Now, when we're talking about Israel and the youth, it's very important. How many know Jacob wrestled with the angel, and he changed his nature to Israel, Prince of God. Amen? Now, notice the word youth. Now, in the outer court, it speaks of babes. Come on. Holy place of youths. Holy of holies. Sons. Jesus as a babe. Jesus at 12. Jesus what? 30. 12 to 30 is how much? 18. 6. Six, six. How many know Jesus was the first real overcomer? He overcome the world, come on, the flesh and the devil. And he did it for you and I. He was the example for you and I. Amen? How many know we got to overcome the world, the flesh and the devil? You see six out there everywhere you go, don't you? Thank God. How many know you can't get to seven unless you come through six? Amen. And so here he said, from my youth, they have afflicted me. He said it twice. Now turn to 1 John chapter 3. I want to show you a scripture. Only this time we'll talk about three more. Only we'll use children, young men, and fathers. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 12. 1 John 2, 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Are you glad your sins are forgiven? Amen. Amen. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him, that is, from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him, that is, from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The children, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Young men, you're strong. The word of God's in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. And then he said, Father, you've known him. Hallelujah. Your sins are forgiven. You're overcoming. You know him. Anybody want to know him? Hallelujah. Yes. So from his youth, he has been afflicted. Praise the Lord. I see in those three scriptures, that those scriptures I read there is forgiveness, fortification, and real fatherhood in God. I'm talking about in God now. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know he saved you? He filled you. But he wants you to really be an overcomer. Just because we can talk it don't mean we always walk it. You can have it here. It's got a slide here. But it's a long, it's further, how many know it's further from here to your feet than from your head to your heart?
But there's a people going to walk it out because they're following the pattern. They're following the one. Hallelujah. They went before. Now notice. Now see, I could get in and tell you what the Israel of God means. In fact, I'll just tell you. He's the new creation man. Paul called him in Galatians 6, that new creation man. Jacob was an overcomer. He was called the Prince of God, the Israel of God. He prevailed. He is one who has power with God and with man. And yet he is afflicted. We see it right here. He is one who walks under an open heaven. And we know that Nathanael was called that he was an Israelite, a Prince of God. And Jesus said that he would see the heavens open, the angels ascending and what? Descending where? Upon the Son of Man. There's a revelation of the Son of Man. He has an open heaven. Praise the Lord. And we saw, we could see in Genesis when Jacob wrestled with the angel, it says he saw the Lord face to face there at Peniel. So there's protection. There's a lot of things we're going to. But, all right, let's read it. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Verse 3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. And you know when the rains come, it gets the ground ready for the plow. You know what we think? Boy, this is it. Rain comes, we got it made. But God's just getting your ground ready for the plow. How many know the deeper you go and the longer plow your furrow, it means more seed can be put in. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so David is saying the plowers plowed upon his back. How many know it's one thing to know your brother's going through it, but when you get in it, it's another thing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. Now notice the attitude. Even though the plowers are plowing him up, he's in affliction. He said, the Lord is righteous. He's not blaming God. He's not mad at God. I mean, no Christians get mad at God. Sure do. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. And before you think it's out there, first look at yourself. Because there's a wicked one in you and me. There's a beast in you and me. There's a beast at the feast and a liar for the fire. Brother, that's the old man he's cutting away and dealing with. We got to put off the old and put on what? The new man. I mean, that's a daily thing. Amen. You're talking about real deliverance. Here's some real deliverance, Brother Moody, right here. Notice, he said he'll cut the cords of the wicked. Anybody need some cords cut? Hallelujah. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. There's a people that hates Zion. What's Zion? It's the authority of God and the government of God in a people. Hallelujah. How many know there's Israel, Jerusalem, and Zion? The Zion people are a hated people. And right here, he said there's a people going to be turned back because they literally hate Zion. They do not want God's authority. They don't want God's government. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which wither afore it grows up. And Peter talks about that grass. You know, over there in the book of Peter. Speaks of the flesh. I'm not going to go into that. Where with the mower fills not his hand, nor he that binds the sheaves in his bosom. Praise the Lord. Well, I won't go into that. I don't have time to really go into it and teach it like I want to. But I had a lot more on it. Praise God. Let's just stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the rest that's been given to us by the blood of Jesus. And God, I thank you for every yoke, or the yoke, and every test that we have went through, Lord, that you've directed. Even though our flesh many times recall and did not understand, Lord. But, oh God, give us understanding again, we pray, Lord. That we may understand the very dealings of God in our life. And that, Lord, once the promise is given, let us recognize there are problems that stand in our way. But, Lord, you'll bring us through to the provision, to the power, to that which you promised. And, God, I thank you today. I thank you for this people. I thank you for the anointing in this place today, Lord. And upon your people and within your people that's arising, Lord. And again, Lord, prepare us and get us ready for the days ahead, Lord. Oh, God, Lord, I pray again for this nation, Lord, and the people of God, especially in this nation. I pray for the church in America, Lord. I pray for the ministries, Lord. I pray for those that are hurting today, Lord. I pray, God, you'll wake us, you'll stir us, you'll deal with us, Lord. And God, you'll speak your mind to us and through us, Lord. That you'll reveal yourself to your people in this hour. God, we'll be a people prepared, ready to meet you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, prepare us. Make us ready, Lord. God, not our will, but your will be done in our hearts and minds. Lord God, help us to take that yoke by an act of our will and learn of you, Lord. God, be part of that people. It's going to be sealed in the forehead. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Father, again, we bless Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Lord. God, I pray again for this camp. I pray for the people and the meeting, and I pray for the Millers. I pray for everyone connected here, the ones that work in the kitchen, Lord. God, I pray for the grounds. I pray for everything, Lord, here on this place. That God, every need shall be met. Provision shall come in from the east, the west, the north, or the south. God, I thank you for the angels of God that are over this place today. And your presence, your anointing, your power. And most of all, Father, I thank you for Jesus that's in us. We love him today. Glory to thy name. Amen. Go ahead, Bill.
Hallelujah.
Such a sweet liberty, Jesus, the Lord over me. Jesus, the Lord over me. Jesus, the Lord over me. Give us to me such a sweet liberty, Jesus, the Lord over me. I will in my life today. I will in my life to stay. I will in my life forever.
I feel those who would like to pray today, a few of you come up, intercessors, and spend some time before lunch. Praise the Lord. Those that feel led. Hallelujah.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Amen. Quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want much more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up. This thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want much more. Fill my cup, fill it up,
Irma and I will be ministering at 2:30 this afternoon in the afternoon service. Irma and I will be ministering at 1 o'clock or thereabouts. Why, I'm going to have a meeting with the ladies. That's what you said, okay. I'll meet in here in the auditorium and then go with Irma or Patty. They'll take you upstairs to the room over your head here where there's chairs set up to have for meeting in one of the dormitories. And I'll gather here with the men and we'll have a prayer meeting together with the men. I appreciate the prayers of the saints. I appreciate you gathering together and praying and holding up the household of faith, not just here, but wherever the word of the Lord's coming forth. We need to be prayer warriors for the household of faith. Lunch will be ready about 12 o'clock. We appreciate all now. Okay, well, Lord, we bless the food. We thank you for making it health to our flesh and strengthening us with it. We praise you for it. Amen. You can pray with us a while or you can eat, whatever you feel to do. See you back at 2:30 at least.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.